Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us. We ask that you hold your phone calls until after the top of the hour news. In the meantime, though, if you'd like to jot the phone number down, it's 541-472-1270. And when you hear the sound of the radio station coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on there live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. A couple of programming notes. Next Tuesday, we anticipate a return of the county staff to KAJO Radio. Following that, on the 22nd, I believe the county commissioners are scheduled to be in studio. Just keeping you up to date on what to look forward to here on the Tuesday Talk Show. In the meantime, though, we have a little situation in the city of Grants Pass right now. Northeast Savage Street is closed between 7th and Beacon, and Outlook Avenue is closed. And we've got the guys who can tell us exactly what's going on here. Okay, whose fault is this?
Nobody's fault. Absolutely.
I just threw you under the bus. I apologize. Just had to do it.
Thank you for that. It is a main break in on Beacon around 9th Street-ish. The team is out there working on it rigorously, trying to get the water slowed down. It's kind of complicated. You think you just go out there and shut the valves off, but you really don't want to do that. You want to maintain pressure in the whole system. So there's still quite a bit of water in the area. So we're really asking that folks kind of just avoid 9th Street in that section.
All right, how much water are we talking about, and do we have a projected fix?
We have not even determined the cause as of yet, except to know that with as much water as they saw coming to the surface, it's definitely a main break and not a service break. Service breaks generally don't put out that much water. We don't have a projected fix at this point. So what the crews are out there doing now is kind of to slow the water down. They'll dig down on it to try and assess what it is, see if they can just clamp it. A lot of times you'll get a break that goes all the way around the pipe, and you can actually just clamp it. But if it's a linear crack, they may have to cut out a section of pipe and replace it.
All right. Sounds complicated. We are glad that you're here with us to explain it.
Yeah.
And we expect that you'll get a phone call should it be fixed.
Definitely today, but I can't put a time frame on it at this point. Until we actually get down on it and see the extent of the break, it's too hard to predict when it'll get fixed.
Okay. Amount of water that's coming down, a significant amount. I assume it's just in the streets right now.
Yeah.
And so just avoid driving in those areas. No problems with any homes?
No, not that we've been made aware of at this time. I know we've posted some high water on 7th Street, I believe, around Midland.
Always seems to be water around there.
And then we contributed quite a bit of it to it at this juncture. And so because of the large volume, I'm sure that that's starting to dissipate now that they've got it throttled back.
All right. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. In the meantime, though, please avoid the areas if at all possible. And if you are in those areas, drive carefully.
Yeah. And we're fielding lots of calls. If you have concerns, just call in, and the team is geared up and ready to help. We've notified all of the affected homes, as well as fire and police and all of those other folks, so that everybody's aware.
All right. So everybody should be aware already, but in the future, the phone number to call, and just in case.
541-450-6110.
That's 6100.
6110. 6110.
450-6110.
6110. Okay. Wait, that didn't work right in my head for a second. And absolutely. And then we'll keep pushing out updates through Facebook and other social media as we get more information in from the field team.
All right. Well, should that come in right now, of course, we'll get it right on to you.
Awesome.
In fact, we had it on about 15 minutes.
I was going to say, you had it before I got here. Yeah. So you're doing – that's great. Our team is working well.
Tip of the hat to our news crew, too.
Absolutely.
We're putting that out in the meantime.
For sure.
All right. Tell me what's going on with Fifth Street.
Oh, boy, you jump right to it. Fifth Street, Wade has got a list of capital projects, and Fifth Street is probably right near the top of it.
I would expect this has been going on for a while here.
It has.
But it's moved around a little bit here.
Yep, so it is right at the top of my list. That was the first one to talk about. So there's been a few closures here recently as the crews were working to put the stormwater line through M Street. It was closed at periods of time so they could set the manhole and get the pipes in and out of there. But we're happy to report that that's all done, and they're kind of working north on the project. They're about at L Street right now, and they're heading north with the storm drain. So the sewer has been put in already, because it was the deeper of the two utilities. So all the work they had been doing up to this point was mostly on the sewer as well as some of the ADA ramps, and now they've kind of fallen back. And they're working on the stormwater system now that the sewer's all installed. So we're expecting that they'll be doing that for the next 4 to 6 weeks. So about a month, maybe a month and a half, they'll be working north from L Street and installing the stormwater system.
Okay, but working. All right. I was surprised yesterday because I've been trying to avoid that area. So I come down 4th and I don't turn on M. I've been turning on L. And yesterday I couldn't.
Yep.
So are we going back the other way now?
No, I don't think so. So we're heading north. So I think K Street will probably be impacted today, and then they'll head towards the downtown area with the stormwater system. When they get into the downtown area, that'll be some night work associated with that around the core downtown area. And then, in 4 to 6 weeks, they'll be done with the stormwater work, and then they'll kind of follow back and do the finished paving. Certain areas are just getting a trench patch. Certain areas are getting an overlay, and some are going to get a grind and inlay. So it's a real variety of asphalt as they repave those systems. So, for example, in the H Street area, they're just going to do trench patches between G and H because we have the Owl Plaza project coming up hopefully this fall. And so we didn't want to spend a lot of money repaving the street there just to tear it out this fall again. So that'll be a trench patch.
Okay. What's going to happen this fall there?
So this project, so 4 to 6 weeks, we'll be done with the stormwater system. So that'll be sometime probably early to mid-August. And then it'll be another 4 to 6 weeks to finish up with the concrete work, the curb and gutter, the sidewalk, the ADA ramps, all those things kind of getting it cleaned up and buttoned up. And they should be hopefully out of there in September. And then Owl Plaza, we're finishing up the design on Owl Plaza. Right now we're working with some electrical subcontractors to kind of get the electrical portion ready to bid out. Once we have that finished up, we're going to try to get it bid out to bid here within the next month for Owl Plaza. That project is going to be a tremendous project for the downtown area. It will be impactful, and we're looking to start that in October, probably late October, after most of the tourist activities are done. And we'll be redoing the Owl Plaza as well as 5th Street between G and H Street. It's going to have concrete mostly and stamped concrete, some pavers, and it's going to be curbless. Is what the plan is. So instead of there being a street and then curb and gutter on either side, we'll be raising the street grade a little bit so that it's all generally the same elevation. So at certain periods of time when we close it for events, it'll be more walkable for the public without curb and gutters to step over and things.
How will that affect traffic and parking?
Parking will still be there, so we're probably going to do some different colorations or different materials of paving to denote the travel lanes from the parking lanes. But the parking lanes will remain, sidewalks will remain as well. It'll just be all kind of at the same level. At the intersections of G and H, there will be raised intersections, which I'm trying to think of the closest example. Probably in Roseburg, the downtown area, there's some raised intersections there. So what we're going to do is we're going to raise the intersection up. So it'll be kind of like a really large speed bump, speed table. It'll all be kind of at road elevation. So that it'll be asphalt on G and H on either side of it, and then there'll be concrete in the middle where the crosswalks are as well as the intersection. So there'll be a visual difference to help you know that there are pedestrians likely in that area. And then you'll kind of slow down to bump up and over that.
All right, so we're talking about your word, large speed bump here at the intersection here. What is the reason behind that? It's not to slow traffic down. It's pretty good through there anyways.
Yeah, but it is similar. I mean, it is to slow folks down, but mostly it's just to give drivers a visual cue that there are likely pedestrians in the area. So it's going to look different. You're going to, hey, this looks different. There's concrete up ahead of me. It's raised. Something looks different. So people slow down and look around a little bit. Also, it should be really visually appealing depending upon what color scheme we end up going with the stamped concrete.
All right, so what colors are we talking about here?
Mostly brick-type colors is what we're looking at. We need to maintain the historical nature of the downtown area. So there's some interesting historical artifacts down there. For example, if you walk down there today on 5th Street between G and H on the 6th Street side, so that would be on the east side, there's still some rings that are cast into the curb and gutter. And those are old historic rings that people used to tie their horses up to. And so it's where you tie the reins when you went into whatever store you're going to do. So we're going to try to preserve the historic nature, and we've worked with the Historical Sites and Buildings Commission to do that.
All right. When you say stamp concrete then, and you know, talk about making it look like bricks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm from the Midwest where I lived on brick streets for many, yep. many years. So that's the look that we're going for at that particular, probably.
Yeah, and hopefully we are going to do the stamp concrete to help preserve some of the historic nature and make it look like bricks, but then also having the best of both worlds where it's a nice reinforced concrete street that makes me happy as the guy that maintains the streets because it'll last longer and be more durable.
Well, that's what we want to do is keep you happy.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
In terms of keeping the people happy, where should we look for any street closures or things? Is that posted somewhere?
Yeah, we will be probably doing several public outreach events. So I know during, I think it's the first part of October, they do the Art Along the Rogue. We'll definitely probably have a booth there during that event, letting folks know what the plan is. And we should know what the contract schedule looks like at that point a little bit better. So we'll do some outreach. We still need to kind of think about how we're going to phase and schedule the project, and we haven't dialed that in yet. There's a bunch of trade-offs. I mean, you can there's no such thing as a free lunch would be one analogy for it. So if you say, okay, we don't want to impact anybody downtown, we want to do all night work, that's great. We can do that. It'll make the project last a lot longer, and it'll cost a lot more. Or you could do, you know, the other extreme would be to completely close the area, which isn't an option in this case. But you could close the whole area and give the contractor the run of the place. It would get done faster and less expensive. So what we're going to do is try to figure out how we can balance those two sides of the construction schedule and try to get the work done, but also accommodate businesses and the folks that are down there.
Obviously, you're probably talking to those businesses.
Mm-hmm. Yep, we are and will be as we get closer to finalizing the plans.
All right. Is there a business organization, I'm thinking Main Street, to talk for the businesses? Is there one organization that can do that?
What do they call that? The downtown?
Main Street USA.
Yeah.
It's the Main Street Grants Pass.
Yeah, Main Street Grants Pass.
That might be a great one to connect with. I was going to add, though, to your comment about road closures. Mm-hmm. Folks can go to grantspassoregon.gov and sign up for our e-notify. All of our road closures, like for 5th Street, get pushed out generally the day before or more notice.
So I get that right on my phone.
You can get that right on your phone, either as a text or as an email, however you would like that delivered, to keep up on where we're doing scheduled road closures.
Oh, all right. Well,
very important.
That's a good one to note. Just go to the city's website and you can get that done.
Yeah, you sign up for the e-notify system. Then you can get a text message every time we close a street.
And how often is that?
It's summertime. It's more frequent than we would like. But for construction, you know, especially on like 5th Street, there's just no other way when you are putting in a, what is that diameter storm drain line? It's a 48 inch. It's big. But when you're digging a trench that wide across L and all of those intervening streets, there's no way to keep traffic going past there. So we have to close those streets to make it safe for everybody.
Now, one look at that large machine that you have down there still.
It's huge, right?
Yeah, no kidding. Every time I go by, I think, wow, how did they get that there and what are they going to do with it?
Disassemble it and haul it away in pieces. Kind of how they do the boring machines.
Yeah. All right. I've talked about that machine before because it's just so impressive visually.
Yeah.
And what's the how long is that going to be around until the end?
Are you referring to the big excavator?
It'll
probably be there for another 4 to 6 weeks while they're digging the
rock. Last I saw it was between L and M.
I think it was the one I talked last time I was on the radio. I was oohing and aahing about it as well because it's got this really cool hopper that they dump all the rocks into, and it's got a conveyor belt underneath it.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yep, and it spits out the rock into the bucket since it's a tight street because that big excavator can't turn real well in there. So anyways, it feeds the rock, clean rock, into the bucket through this conveyor belt underneath. It's really cool.
All right. Yeah. More cool stuff coming up. You're listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO Radio. We'll be back right after this word.
Last year alone.
Project at a time.
Welcome back, everyone. The Tuesday Talk Show here. Lots of information flowing your way right now, and it doesn't get any faster than this. All right, we have an update on the water main break. Yeah.
We do. The road closure has been reduced to Northeast Savage between just 9th and 10th at this juncture.
Oh, all right.
So it was a little bit broader, but we've narrowed that up to the work zone.
So still no prognosis on when...
Not yet. They're just now starting to dig. Unfortunately, these things take time. You got to get the truck crews out there mobilized, dig up the asphalt. Or this one happens to be under a sidewalk, so we're having to cut up the sidewalk to get to it.
Oh, gracious. So this is going to be the water will get shut off here probably relatively soon.
The water's probably off, or not off, but greatly, greatly slowed down. Again, we always try to keep the line pressurized, because if you shut it off dirty water can seep back into the pipe, and that's not at all what we want. So as long as we always have continuous flow coming out of the pipe, we can maintain the cleanliness of the system, and we don't have to worry about bacteria getting in.
All right, we'll keep an eye on that.
Yep.
Speaking of water,
yeah.
Don't we have a water treatment plant in the planning stages? Whereabouts are we with this here? What's going on?
He's like, burying the lead. I actually have some pretty big news.
Okay.
On July 17th, we've already notified council and sent them out invitations. We are hosting a groundbreaking ceremony just next week, on next Thursday.
Yeah, it's coming up fast.
We're real excited to get this project started. Council still has a few smaller decisions to make around the GMP for the intake structure, a minor rate modification. We'll be presenting that to them here, I believe, at the end of August or early September. And we're getting the project started. So groundbreaking will be open to the public. So come on down between 10 and 12. We'll be sending out all the media posts. We'll be starting up, I believe, today or tomorrow. We're going to have the entire layout of the plant staked out on the site with boards that are going to explain what's going to get built in each area, how the new plant's going to work. We'll have people stationed there to answer questions for folks, in addition to, of course, the obligatory golden shovels. And
sure.
Hard hats and vests.
All right. Well, that's been a long time coming.
It has. This project started really back in 2011 when we found some major structural issues in the Clearwell. And so we've been working since then to update the facility plan, to really come up with a plan on whether we want to reconstruct the existing plant or build a new plant. I mean, we've been talking about this now for how long? Since as long as I've been coming to sit on this seat.
No doubt. All right.
Exactly.
All right. Do we have a final number on what it's really going to cost?
So we are yes and no. And the reason I say and no is the intake structure work has yet to be bid out. So we know that is going to be less than $10 million, though. So currently our price is right at about $114.5 million. Add to that the anticipated about $10 million worth of intake work, and we'll be sitting right at $124 million.
All right. Something else you said that always.
Yep.
Modified rate increase. Did you say that really?
I did. We talked to the council, and they agreed to look at a small rate increase because of the cancellation of the BRIC program.
That cost us $50 million.
That cost us $50 million. It also saved us quite a bit of money, and that's the upshot there. The BRIC had some pretty strict requirements as what work we had to do. We don't have to adhere to that anymore. So that reduced our cost probably $10 to $15 million, but it does mean that we have to bond for more money than what we were hoping to.
So instead of $50 million, it's going to cost us about $35 million.
That's a real good – in that's the number we've been using is right in there. So instead of having to borrow about $10, we're having to borrow closer to $40 to kind of fill that gap. It was more than $10. But anyway, so because of that, we need a little bit more rates to back up the debt service. We can make the debt payment, but what happens is all the bonding agencies look at what's called our coverage ratio. And our coverage ratio drops below a 1.2, and they want us to be between a 1.2 and a 1.5. And that's the ratio of how much income you have to your debt service payment. So it's a very, very small rate increase. And council will be looking into different options, including potentially leveraging additional urban renewal funds, just putting it into like the treatment plant replacement fee that already appears on your bill, doing a small across the board increase. So we're going to present them with a myriad of options. The number that was presented to council previously, and it looks like that was on the high end, was about 2.5% per year for 3 years. So still fairly small.
All right. How long is it going to take to get a complete plant there at water pumping?
2028 is when we will be bringing the plant online.
So about three years. Okay. We've already talked about what happens to the current plant then at that point. Do we have a plan yet?
No. We'll really start having those conversations once the new plant is online and runs for a year. Because until that time, and we have a year to prove out that the plant does everything that the design build team has promised. And so once we get to the end of that year, which would be probably 2029, I would guess we would then start having conversations about how to mothball the old plant and then how to repurpose it in a way that's beneficial to the community. Because we don't want to lose the building. I mean, it is a beautiful historic landmark that's there. We should find a way to use it for something. What that could be would be a challenge.
Now, is there 4 years life left in that plant?
Yes, there has to be.
You swallowed hard before you said that.
Well, you cannot predict the future. Yes, we keep the plant running. If you saw a council packet a while back, we're sending the pumps out still for their regular rebuilds. We're still maintaining all of the equipment within it. Short of a major structural failure, yes, it will make it.
All right. Now, anything else you guys brought to the table today?
Well, I did want to say a little bit more. Definitely open to the public. We are asking people to carpool. Parking may be limited. Mm-hmm. No flip-flops and sandals because it is an active construction site. But we want to see people out there. This is really your first chance to see the site, to see where how big it actually is going to be on the site, what the technology is going to be. We've got lots of great technical people there to answer everybody's questions. So, again, July 17 between 10 and noon, groundbreaking for the water treatment plant. Pretty historic event for Grants Pass.
Upon completion, what is it going to visually look like? Because I imagine that it'll be visible from parkways.
Yeah. The parkway, for sure. I've got a great picture. If you come to groundbreaking.
We'll show it on the radio.
we will. But essentially, it's going to look like a large metal building, very similar to maybe slightly more attractive than Fire Mountain Gems. It's a very large metal frame building, which we did really to conserve resources, money. And then there will be two large concrete tanks and some outdoor pumps. So what you'll see is basically the metal building and two concrete tanks from this parkway.
Oh, okay. Well, I held that really close to the microphone. I hope you could all hear it.
Yes. Yeah. The picture?
The picture, sure.
It did. It should have kind of just carried right through.
Yeah. That's the magic of radio.
It is. I forget these things,
So. All right. So anything else here? We've got about a minute left before I have to take a break here.
No, people definitely come out. We'd love to see everybody there. The mayor and the council will all be there. You can see them dip, like I said, the golden shovels and the dirt and throw it and hear about the project and when it's going to be completed and kind of some of the impacts to the local traffic and all of that. So it's going to be should be a great event.
All right. Well, keep your ears here, and we'll keep you informed on exactly where and when you can attend that particular event coming up. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass. Once again, we'll expect your phone calls after the top of the hour news. That's coming up momentarily. The number to call is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. You're listening to KAJO Grants Pass, Oregon. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. Tuesday talk show continues. Number to call on the lines are open is 541-472-1270. If you have a question or comment for our guest this morning, when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you air your question or comment to our guest. And if you want to know about the water treatment plant, what's going on there, any construction on the streets of Grants Pass, this is the place to come. Do we have any more updates on the water main break yet.
No, we do not.
And we've been covering it pretty extensively now. We've been on it about three times. Let's do it one more time. Yep. Whereabouts are we here with it? It's been narrowed down now and isolated.
Yeah, Savage Street is closed now between 9th and 10th Street. And that is the only road closure, and the crews are in there working to get the water line exposed, determine what the extent of the break is, and get that replaced.
All right. No reason for the cause of that is available yet. Okay.
No.
And we've been talking about some of the other construction things going on around town. For instance, we talked about, of course, Fifth Street. Anything else weighed on your agenda?
Oh, yeah. How much time you got, Chuck?
Well, I've got 25 minutes. Okay. Let me know when you're done.
All right. So a few other active construction projects we have going on. Allen Creek Road, I think I've been talking about that for the entire time I've been working for the city. But it's currently under construction, which is exciting. We had the contractor ended up pulling off the project for a couple weeks because there were some utility conflicts that we didn't know about. And so the Avista Gas Corporation had to come in and re-lower some services so that the contractor could get back to work there. So it looks like the road is under construction and then everybody just vacated for a couple weeks, which is true because that's what happened. And they're going to get back on the project next week. And their plan is to do some clearing and grubbing and then start building up the road on the east side of the project, which is kind of the downhill side. And they'll start building up the road base and then get it prepped and start pouring curb gutter and some of the sidewalk as well in that area. Later in August, they'll start working on a regional stormwater facility, which is incorporated as part of this project. And they'll be digging a large stormwater pond on a city-owned piece of property that's closer to the actual creek down there. It's kind of an exciting pond project. So a certain size of the pond was necessary for the widening of the Allen Creek Road project because more asphalt, more concrete will create more runoff. And so we need to account for that to both hold it back from a quantity perspective as well as a quality perspective and improve the water quality before it went into the river.
All right. Do we have a time frame on that project here? Or a couple of years yet?
Yeah, it'll be finished next summer. So their plan for this year is to get done with the east side of the project. So essentially half of the road will get built, as well as the storm drain. All the underground stuff hopefully will be done. There's quite a few other developer projects that are going concurrently on that section of road, which is part of the plan that the city saw as a vision for this project. So they've rezoned and annexed some of the properties out there, and there are several development projects going. Right now we're trying to incorporate those utility tie-ins to the Allen Creek Road project so that the contractors don't come in a year after the road's finished and cut it open and get their water services and stormwater and sewer and stuff. I'm sure that's going to happen, but we're trying to be as proactive as we can and work with our local developers to get that done ahead of time.
All right. What else you got up your sleeve?
All right. So this week, the Hillcrest Drive reconstruction project is going to get advertised for bidding. So we hope to see quite a few contractors interested in that project. That will reconstruct Hillcrest from Beacon Drive to 9th Street.
And now, this has been ongoing up there for a while here, a section at a time, is that right?
Yeah, exactly. So I believe it started with ODOT as they did their Southern Oregon Seismic Rehabilitation Project and all the bridges and overpasses. So they seismically hardened that overpass on Hillcrest for I-5, and then as part of that, they put in a larger sidewalk on the south side of the road there, which was going to tie into what we're going to do, which would be to put a multimodal path on the south side of the project, of Hillcrest. Also, Josephine County came through and they had 10th Street and they added sidewalks on 10th Street. So there should, once our project gets through there, we should have quite a good multimodal facility for folks to use in that area.
Okay, multimodal. We're talking pedestrian and bicycle. Is that what we're talking about?
Yep.
What does that do to the width of the street?
Well, in this case, we elected to do kind of a different design standard. And so there will be a bike lane on the road within the curb and gutter, but it's only going to be on the downhill side. So if you are a really good cyclist and you like going with the flow of traffic, you can go downhill at a pretty good clip and go right along there. But then there will be a multimodal path, which will be separated from the roadway on the south side. And so there will be a pretty wide buffer strip in there, and it'll be a wider asphalt path that you can use to go uphill as well as downhill. It'll be kind of a two-way travel kind of thing. But it'll be a lot more comfortable for all ages and stages of bike riders and pedestrians that are using it. All right. Kind of get them off the road.
Is that going to be a two-way bike path?
Yep.
So the one bike path will go both ways?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep, but it'll be wide. I think it's going to be 10 or 12 feet wide, so there'll be plenty of room.
Yeah, because I know a cyclist's real challenge is the uphill part.
Yeah, yeah,
that's the real challenge.
Yep, exactly. This project is also, there's been a lot of good coordination that's happened both with ODOT and Josephine County, as I talked earlier, but also with some of the local developers. One of the projects, the Veterans Village, is going in right along the roadway there within mm-hmm. the project. And they were successful in an ARPA grant from the city to extend the infrastructure to their project. So that is actually happening right now. They're bringing the water line down along I-5. And then they will tie into the Hillcrest project, since we'll be installing sewer in there to kind of make the whole project work, as well as some of the frontage improvements. So the water line is happening right now. We're going to bid Hillcrest, and then hopefully by sometime late this fall, that's going to be a whole brand new section of town in there.
Mm-hmm. Let me throw one out here, and I'm not sure that this is the right spot for it, but let's find out, because we know that the city was tasked with putting together a task force to deal with ODOT on a multimodal assessment of 6th and 7th Streets. Is that happening? What do we know about that, and what do we expect?
Yeah, we're going to have our first public meeting for that, which will be during the first Friday event, and I forget what date it is. I almost think it's August 1st. I'd have to look at a calendar. But the first Friday in August, we will be commandeering the Downtown Welcome Center, and we're going to try to pull as many people off the street as we can, and of course advertise mm-hmm. it ahead of time. And what we're most interested in is hearing from the general public and how they get around Grants Pass, specifically on a bike, but of course walking pedestrians as well. The downtown core doesn't have any bicycle facilities on 6th Street, and 7th Street is lacking at best, but they do exist there. So what we're looking at is how can we get people north and south to the downtown area and ultimately across the Rogue River. Caveman Bridge is pretty constrained with the width, as well as 7th Street. The parkway has enough width, but it's quite a ways out of the way. So this study is going to look at how we get them through there, whether it's on 6th and 7th Street, or whether we enhance maybe 8th Street or 4th Street or 5th Street to really make it a really nice bike facility for folks, and then ultimately get them across the river.
What's the driving force here? Is it ODOT? Because 6th and 7th Streets are basically state highways.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So are they the driving force, or is this city driving force? Where are we with this?
This is a city driving force. So we were awarded a Transportation Growth Management Grant. It's called a TGM grant, and the city applied for it. When we did the transportation system plan back in 2020, this was identified as a refinement study. We didn't have the time or money or capacity at that time to really investigate how we get the pedestrians through that really important part of our town. And we knew that it was going to be important, and so we put in for this TGM grant and were awarded it. And it's hands down the best kind of money that we can have. ODOT hired the consultant, ODOT manages the consultant. We never touch the money, and we never have to pay the consultant. They just kind of work for us. It's fantastic.
Okay. What's the traveling public expect from this? And do you look in your crystal ball? What the traffic on those two roads right now is just incredible during peak times. And peak times are expanding with the growth of this community.
Well, interestingly, we did a traffic study on it. It's a much larger topic, but the climate-friendly and equitable communities rulemaking that came down from the state, maybe some folks have heard of it. It's commonly referred to as CFEC, which would be the acronym for it. But in general, the state, from the governor down, wanted to reduce greenhouse gas emissions, and the best way to do that was to reduce vehicle miles traveled. And so we did a study in the area to see if this plan could help us be compliant with the CFEC rulemaking in the future. And what we ended up finding is that the traffic hadn't really grown on 6th and 7th Street over the last 6 or 7 years. So some of that may have been the COVID dip, as we think about traffic patterns. When COVID hit, everybody quit driving because You know, we were told not to, or we were scared, or workplaces were shut down, or whatever the case may be. But even before and after that, we found that the traffic hasn't increased on 6th and 7th Street. So it is a lot, and if we think about adding bike lanes or removing one of the travel lanes, it would only increase congestion with those roadways. So we're going to look at it, but likely we're going to end up with a parallel route that's really enhanced. And so that would be something on the city system, likely 4th Street, maybe parts of 5th Street, or maybe we go on the other side of the road and it'd be 8th Street, which would be great because it has some connectivity to the
high school.
To the high school, yeah.
Absolutely.
All right, and because, well 4th Street already does have bike lanes on it.
Yep. And maybe that's one we use, and we end up buffering those a little bit more so it's more comfortable for all ages and stages of bicycle riders. So maybe it's a concrete median that kind of separates it or something of that nature.
You'd have to modify some parking, wouldn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, likely.
Okay. Well, that's something to look forward to, and this is going to happen. At the first really opportunity for the public to really weigh in on it is probably the first Friday in August time frame. Is that going to be during the downtown first Friday, or it was in the daytime?
Yeah, I actually have a meeting this afternoon to really, really firm that up. But we have reserved the Welcome Center, I think, from 5 to 7 p.m. on that first Friday in August. Yep, and that'd be a great opportunity. There will be another one later. So right now we're kind of looking at existing conditions, and then we're going to take some feedback from the public on how they get around town. And then the next public meeting will be after the consultant's gone away and analyzed everything and incorporated all the comments. And then they're going to have some actual projects that we can look at, which would be the part that I'm more excited about would be like, oh, this is really cool, or no, we don't want to do that. And that's going to be fun. But that'll be later.
Ah, okay. So this is really preliminary right now.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so that's happening. Mm-hmm. By all means, keep us informed on that. All right, we're down to our last 12 minutes here. What do we need to go over again or reintroduce, or the things that we have missed that we should be talking about?
I was going to say, he's got a whole page that he hasn't touched half of yet. He's excited.
Why did you come?
I'm not sure. Well, we talked about that whole groundbreaking thing.
Yes, and we do appreciate that, yeah.
A couple projects that are also still ongoing that are kind of important to the community would be the Highland Loop parking lot. So the Dollar Mountain Trail System, right now it has one trailhead parking lot, and that's on Crescent Drive. We are currently under construction on the Highland Loop parking lot, which, of course, is off of Highland Loop, kind of in the Woodbrook, Upper Highland area. And we're hoping to get that done here in the next probably month and a half. Interesting, if you drive up there right now, there's also a subdivision going on called Highland Estates. So there's a lot of construction going on up there. But we'll be able to hopefully get that all kind of done and tied together this fall. Concurrently, the Parks Department has a contract out there to install some of the new trails on Dollar Mountain, so they enhance new routes for the biking and mountain biking public out there, and hopefully it's all going to come together later this fall and be a really nice facility.
All right. We do have a caller right now standing by, so let's say good morning. You're on the air. You have a question or comment for our guest this morning.
Yes, I got a question for you. I know you were talking about the raised roadway on G and H Street.
Yeah.
I don't understand why you're spending money like that when we have roads that need repair, like 4th Street going up, you know, all the way. It's just, the road's terrible.
All right.
I think that's a really good point that you brought up, and it's always a little bit difficult to kind of balance some of the priorities within the community. I think in general, the state and then also the nation is starting to kind of pull back from building new roadways and building new things and kind of moving into more of a maintenance perspective, and we're certainly feeling that locally here too, where we need to take care of the things that we have. In this case, this is a project that was kind of a general fund type project that wasn't really a street repair kind of thing. And right now it's using a whole bunch of Urban Renewal Agency funding, which is to help enhance the downtown area and then also help the property values around there and bring people to the downtown. So that's the purpose of this project. Now, we have different sets of money like gas tax and the street utility funds that we use for road repairs and things. So this is a different pot of money for a different purpose.
All right. Well, I identify with a gentleman who is still online here with us here. Yeah. As I travel 4th Street on a regular basis, I come down 4th and coming down downhill, it gets pretty rough coming up to A Street and just below A Street. And I think that's probably the area that he's talking about. Is that right,
yes,
sir?
Yeah. That is true.
Yep. Yeah, that part definitely needs some work in it. That area was an old concrete road, kind of interestingly.
Yeah.
And then it's been patched onto at times with asphalt in certain sections. So it's on our list of things to do. We have overlays coming up this year to one of those will be D Street. We're going to push out D Street roughly from Mill Street to Foothill because D Street's pretty rough too. And then after that, likely we're going to tackle A Street. So we're trying to, my philosophy is that I'm trying to do the roadways that get a lot of traffic on them and try to make those a little bit better. And then, of course, there's a whole bunch of cul-de-sacs and local access roads that need help, too. So
there's yeah, lots of areas that need some help. Does that help you, sir?
So it's never going to get done. That's what you're saying.
Well, I wouldn't say, I wouldn't say never.
I'm just being that.
All right. Yeah, I wouldn't say never, but don't hold your breath.
That's what I'm saying. It's never going to get done. Everybody keeps putting it off and say, well, we'll do A Street and D Street. And well, that's even worse than those streets.
All right, sir.
But thank you.
All right. Well, thank you very
much.
Thank you. Thank you for your call. We appreciate that. That brings to mind another situation right now, particularly with ODOT and what is happening statewide with that money and how's that going to affect Grants Pass with those drastic cuts to the ODOT budget.
Yeah, right now we don't think it's going to have a real large impact on us. So as it is, the state gas tax has a 50% of the revenues go to ODOT, 30% go to the counties based on population, and then 20%, the remaining 20% goes to the cities based on population. And it's a really important part of our budget, I think. Yearly, we get approximately $3 million in mm-hmm. state gas tax that we use to repair our roads and build new ones. But I don't think it's going to have an impact. Now, some of the bills that were introduced up there that didn't end up passing would have had some impacts, but where none of those passed, I think everything's kind of staying status quo.
So right now, internally here in the city of Grants Pass, those budget cuts should not affect us significantly.
Well, where we may see an impact is in the reduced personnel. So we may see projects that are in coordination with ODOT move a little bit slower just because they don't have the human resources to help drive those forward. We don't know who is on the layoff list or not on the layoff list. How many local people will we lose? You know, because they're the ones that we coordinate with almost daily, or the Shelley and her team do, to work on, you know, just where our roads interface to each other, and they interface everywhere in Grants Pass. So, you know, we really don't know the full impact, but I think you'll see certain projects probably have a little bit of an impact just from the standpoint that they're not going to have people to do those functions.
All right. And interface, what we're talking about here in terms of certainly 6th mm-hmm. and 7th Street interface.
Yeah.
Parkway?
Parkway, the on-ramps and the off-ramps. We coordinate a lot with them on just general maintenance activities.
Highway 99, 199,
absolutely.
138, all around us here.
Everything.
Everything yep. that interfaces their
yeah.
main corridors of traffic. So.
Yeah, and we've got a great working relationship with the local maintenance folks. So we're hopeful that they're all going to stay in place because that would be tough for us.
All right. Well, once again, we come down to about our last 5 minutes here. Gentlemen, are there areas that we should be talking about that we have any last thing that we really need to get out?
Nothing that really needs to get out. D Street, we're going to do that overlay package, and likely it's going to happen in a couple months is when that'll kick off. So that'll be several weeks of work there that we'll be pushing out some notifications to use a different route. We are finishing up the Meadowood Reservoir, which is a really large project in our water system. So currently, they had to fill the tank up to make sure that it held water.
Which it did.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and it held water. But then the time that it took to do the leak test is what they call it. The water kind of got a little bit stale due to just sitting in the tank. So right now they're draining that tank, and then they're going to refill it. Mm-hmm. And then everything else is in place, and we should be able to put that tank online. Which is pretty exciting. That was a big project for
yeah.
us.
Yeah, that's been ongoing for a couple of years now.
Yep. Yeah, it turned out really, really good. It will be coming online. Should stabilize the pressure to a whole bunch of people in Zone 2 out there. Pretty
all
excited.
Right. So
I did want to mention July 14th, the council is tackling the public safety services and funding. If you are interested in what they are considering for public safety, that would be a great workshop for the public to tune into. You can do that on our YouTube page as well as just linking directly over to RVTV. Those are all broadcast live, but that would be July 14th at 11:45. Mm-hmm. Pretty big topic.
All right. Can you have any insights on what we might be looking at?
I actually do not.
Oh, really?
I just wanted to plug because I know it's important. They've allocated, what do we have, 7 stars, which means well over an hour of time.
All right. So, yeah. So Sam Marsh is going to be busy till about 4 in the afternoon.
Absolutely.
Nice. Okay.
Yep.
All right.
And then once again, I just want to remind everybody, July 17th, 10 to 12, the groundbreaking ceremony for the water filtration plant. We really encourage the public to get out there to see what the new water plant's going to look like.
Best way to access that?
Off of J Street. Mm-hmm. We're encouraging folks to kind of park on the side streets. There will be some on-site parking, but it will be very limited. And then again, we're just asking folks avoid open-toed shoes and such like that because it is a pretty rough terrain.
Okay. All right. Yep. So that's happening
July 17th.
July 17th.
From 10 to 12.
From 10 to 12. All right. And of course, more press releases are coming out about
absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, yeah. We're going to start probably pushing those out today. You should be hitting the newsroom anytime.
All right. And once again, for the new any last updates on what's happening up on Manzanita?
No. The water. No new updates. I was
hoping. Saw you checking.
I know I was hoping that we would have an update, but we'll get you some updated information shortly.
All right. Well, gentlemen, yep. We want to thank you very much for your time today. It's been enlightening. We covered a lot of important topics here, interested to the people.
Yep.
So thank you very much for your time. And
thank you.
Of course, you're welcome here anytime, and you know our phone number.
I do.
Yeah, all right. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show here on KAJO, 99.7 FM, 1270 on the AM side. This is Grant Spence, Oregon.